But I'm going to invite some of our speakers to the front. I don't know if you've noticed the poster for this event that's on the front of your booklet. You will see some faces. And there was some thought put into how we were going to structure this event this weekend. And one of the things that we did was I wanted both young and old to be speaking, because I believe God is a multi-generational God. And I believe that we are in a season in the church right now where we must connect and include the younger generation. God is not happy that the church has been disunified in terms of age. But tonight I'm going to ask the fathers who are speaking this weekend to come to the front. I'm going to ask them to come one by one. First of all, Matt Judd, if you would come. Pastor Jeff Thrash. Pastor Eddie Taylor. And Pastor Chris Maxwell. And I'm Lee Grady, and I'm also old. In fact, I might be the oldest person up here. I have not asked Pastor Thrash his age. We'll figure that out later. Take a good look at your fathers this weekend. And we're going to hear from the sons later in the weekend. But these guys really are taking quite a risk, because I didn't give them any real clue about what this was going to be about. This is just kind of a get to know them. We're just going to do this for a few moments. But I want, first of all, I'm going to introduce them one by one, and then I'm going to ask them to answer a question. If you are 30 years old, you can leave that. That's okay. If you are 30 years old or younger, would you please stand? Okay. We are so happy you're here, guys. You can be seated. And if you are 40 years old and young, and from 40 to 31, please stand up. Okay. So the majority of, you can be seated, the majority of the men in this room are under 40. And that's really great, because that's not what you usually get when you do a men's event in church. But this is a new day, folks. There's a new generation arising. And there's a young generation of young men out there who really want fathers, and they really want to know from their fathers, how does this work? How did you do it? And so after I introduce them, I'm going to just ask these brothers to just share from their heart just for like 5 minutes. And basically they're going to share with you the greatest spiritual challenge that they have faced in their life. I want them to just be honest with you about what that was. It could be an incident. It could be an attitude. It could be something that happened to them that sort of marked them. Because you know what, guys? When we are going to, if we're going to become men of God, we have to go through the fire. And we have to go through trials, tribulations, difficulties, stuff. And a lot of you are going through stuff, and maybe you didn't know that you had to do that. But every one of these men up here has been through the fire, and they've lived to tell about it, and they are actually better because they went through it. And so whatever they want to share for just 5 minutes, I'm going to ask them to do that. Down on the end down here is Pastor Matt Judd. He is the pastor of this church, Good News Church, here in Augusta, Georgia. His wife is Susie, and they actually have two sons who are in this room. Harry and Grayson are here as a part of this conference, and they have a wonderful family ministry, and they're awesome pastors here in this city, And Matt is a dear friend of mine. And they and so then we have Pastor Jeff Thrash, who is from Mobile, Alabama. And he brought a whole bunch of guys from his church. All the guys from Pastor Thrash's church in Mobile, would you please stand so that we can honor you? Right. And two of your sons, right, are here. Yeah. And so, and Pastor Thrash has been a part of Bold Venture now for some time, and he really has a passion for, discipling, particularly discipling young men. And he's going to be talking about fathering when he speaks to us during this event. And then we have Pastor Eddie Taylor, who is from Dalton, Georgia. He has the distinction of probably he could have competed with Stephen Simmons on the thickest Southern accent in the room. But because he's originally from South Georgia, Waycross, Georgia, and he and his wife Beth have a wonderful church on the hill. That's true, like wonderful, right? Church on the hill, and they have three sons who are pretty much all grown, I guess, well, sort of grown. Yeah, the jury is out, he said. And then we have Chris Maxwell, who is the campus pastor at Emmanuel College in Franklin Springs, Georgia. He used to pastor in Orlando, Florida, where he and I became best of friends about 17 years ago. Right. And so he spends most of his time working with students, and he's a man who loves people and loves to invest in people. And that's why he's here, because he loves to invest in young leaders. So I'm going to pass the mic all the way down to Matt. I'm going to let him go first because you already got him, Matt. And because he's going to be speaking to us later this evening. So you guys take it away.
Well, let's see here. You know, we've passed through 20 years, so a lot of things happen over the years. A lot of good things, a lot of rough things. But one thing that comes to mind as I'm sitting here is in the early 2000s, I had three people close to me basically lie to me, do me wrong, hurt me very, very deeply. One being my father, who's now in heaven, and I found out he had several affairs, and I ended up having to confront him with my family, my other brothers, and so that was one. And then another guy that was in this church, serving on staff here, had a situation with him. And then another one was a board member. And I don't know I'm a feeling person, a relationship person, and so something like that really hurt me, really set me back. And so I went into a depression. And I don't know if you ever dealt with that, but I was basically not able to function for like 9 months while I'm pastoring, preaching on Sundays, going through all the motions. And my wife is very strong and heavily involved in the ministry, and so she basically picked up the slack for me and as far as the duties around the church. But I was just not able to do anything. And finally, in the same way at home, I'm just kind of going through the motions and just was not able to function. And then finally, my wife had enough. I guess she just couldn't take anymore. And she said, "You're going to have to do something about this. And if you don't, I'm going to leave." And so when you have something like that happen, it's, you know, you're like, okay, that kind of hits you in the face. And so what she decided to do, she set up a meeting with a counselor. And being the man that I was, I didn't go. She went by herself. And then the Holy Spirit kind of dealt with me and said, "What kind of man are you that you won't even go with your wife to counseling?" And so I ended up going, and little did I know that I ended up going for 2 years, over 2 years, every week. And just dealt with pain, ended up going on medication, all kind of things that I dealt with. And there was some tough days in there. One of the sessions, I was just so mad. I thought the counselor and my wife Susie was ganging up on me. I walked out of the session, slammed the door. Just so angry, because just dealing with so many, because these kind of things bring up hurts from your past, from your family that you know, family of origin and other things in your life that you just don't deal with. And so I just had a whole lot of things to deal with. And so after about 2.5-3 years, came through that and again, pastored all the way through it. But through that experience, I'm so much better, so much stronger. Had to use my faith. It wasn't just the doctor or the counselor, or I had a great support system around me. And it was also faith in God and God walking with me through that. And I, you know, when I went into that counseling, I had so much anger towards my wife. She could just say things that would trigger so much anger in me. And after that 2.5 years, that anger's gone and it has not come back. Thank God.
We've had the honor of being in ministry for 30 years and pastoring 25, going towards 26. And I think the greatest challenge of that was becoming something to someone that you've never been to yourself. Pastoring has its own challenges. Sometimes when people can't see Jesus for themselves, they look for someone else to be in. But finding that balance, discovering how to father and you've never been fathered, walking in the seasons of uncertainty, when you sense that you figured it out and God turned the corner on you, being told by God to walk away from the denomination because he wanted to do something different, not just with his people, but for his people. And it starts with the person, and I just happen to have been that person as the leader. Isolated, lonely, discouraged. And I think that was even an element of fear. But I found comfort, I found the security in knowing that God didn't call me to leave me. And even in the midst of the things that I just mentioned, it wasn't about what I heard other preachers and other leaders, because I was well connected with all leaders, what I heard them say about God. But it was a season when I knew God required me to know him for who he was. Listen, in the place that I was in, uncertain, fearful about what's next, people walking off, but it took those to walk off for others to come. These are the challenges of pastoring, of what I've just lived in pastoring. But it so helps me today, so appreciate that who God have created me to be and what God have called me to do is not even based on people. It's based on God. And I used to daily say, Lord, why me? Why this? But you know, we are quite special that God created us for something specific. To place us in, and I love this statement, to place us in defining moments in our lives in the midst of, listen, seasons that have not been discerned. Where he turned our pain, and when you hear this, where he turned our pain into a passion. Amen. When he turned the corner, it pulled us out of our familiar place. And I mean, we're deep in a process, but God is not abandoning our purpose.
Well, good night. It's been a good evening. Thank you for coming. That's right. You got your dollar's worth. Congratulations. Yeah, if you have your wallets with you, the ushers will now come forward. When I met Lee, I was serving in a small rural town in North Florida. It's at the junction of I-10 and I-75. It's really the first stop that we get all the Yankees' money when they cross the line into Florida. Sorry if you're from up north. It's the truth. And so you can buy anything there from stuffed alligators to orange marmalade. And they're orange rind. And there's palm trees there, but they don't really grow there. We have to stake them up so they'll stay in Lake City. Because Lake City is really more South Georgia than South Georgia's South Georgia. And in 2005, we knew that God had told us to raise up our son in the Lord there for him to become the pastor of that place. And the church in Dalton, where I'm now the pastor, contacted me because the pastor who had been there, 2006 or so, had announced that he was going to retire, and they wanted me to come up and interview. This is very important because it's very similar to what the apostle said. I want you to hear this. I went up there and interviewed, and the committee, the team that was leading the process, called me to become the pastor of that church. And before I could get to Atlanta, they called me back and said, "You've been struck down by the denomination." So I go back to Lake City thinking, maybe I can't hear God. Maybe there's something wrong. Maybe it's me. And then our former pastor there, I'd been the youth pastor of that church, and then I'd returned to be the pastor. Our former pastor planted a church a few miles down the highway. We had to fire our children's pastor for some inappropriate behavior. And my mother-in-law moved into my guest room and died of cancer. And so in the middle of all that, I had a problem, with, just like Matt said, with my family of origin. I didn't know how to process emotions. So I was Pastor Eddie on Sunday and burning up on the inside Monday through Saturday. And so finally one day, a businessman called me and said, "I've got this great opportunity. You're a fast talker. Would you mind coming to become our sales manager? And I'll pay you 5 times what you're making right now." Five. Let me tell you, if it was $10 a year, 5 times $10 a year is a lot better. And so I went there, and I was in training to be the sales manager of that company, and I was in Washington, D.C. at a training session, and I was watching on the monitor CNN as Lehman Brothers crashed. And so instead of me making 6 figures that next month, I made $36. So then I'm burned out on ministry, confused, I don't think I can hear God, and I'm frustrated and I'm burning up on the inside. And so I did what Matt did. I went to see a shrink. I went to see a psychologist in town. And I sat down and he said, "What's your problem?" I said, "I'm not sure if I can hear God anymore. I don't think I can be a pastor, and I'm not very good at business, obviously. I've made a really bad move." And he said, "Tell me about your mother." I said, "Dude, I hate you." In Jesus' name. Wow. But listen, what happened through that process is this is very important because this generation of young men, you've got to hear this. Learn from our mistakes. Listen. You've got to hear me now. Let me lean in so you understand what I'm saying. Your emotions make a tremendous servant, but a terrible master. See, my generation was told to bottle them up and don't do anything with them because they're wrong, they're bad, they're girly. But your generation has been told to be led by them. And both are crippling. Because, let me say it again, hashtag, you want to put this up there, emotions make a tremendous servant, but a terrible master. And I had to learn how to yield my emotions to the Father. I had to learn how to process because I grew up in a home that we were not allowed to process our emotions. We could only process our emotions if the Braves won. And so you have to learn how to take your emotions and in exuberant worship like we did today, yield them to the Lord. In common conversation around a cup of coffee, look another brother in the eye. And when he says to you, how are you? Do not lie to him. And see, it's in processing those emotions that you can be a father. Because listen, I'm going to say this again tomorrow. You're going to hear it twice now. You teach what you know, but you reproduce who you are. And you can talk the anointing all you want, but if you're broken and dysfunctional, you're going to reproduce broken and dysfunctional. If I come to your house and I'm talking measles, but I forgot the mumps, that's what you got. And so we have to learn how to process our emotions, how to work through them, how to find the pause, which my brother can sell you a few books to talk about. To learn how to live in the rhythms of grace. And when confronted with bad times, with disappointments, learn how to let, not by denial, but by faith, learn how to let God turn your trials into joy, that you can count them all joy as unto Him. Because see, listen, look, God's not looking for perfect men. He's looking for men that will walk with a limp. Because there's not another perfect person in this room but Jesus Christ. And all the rest of us, we've wrestled with Him and we've come out the other side. And it's the limp that you walk with that allows people to walk with you. If you're walking too fast, if you're running too fast, no one else can walk with you. And if you're going to be a discipler, you've got to walk with a limp. And you've got to be transparent about the limp in your life.
And that's why we're really starting this weekend with this, confessions about our limps. We are not here to put on a mask of performance. We're not here to show our stat sheets of success. We're here to confess to you that we are men who are tough enough to tell you we are not tough. We are choosing to be strong enough to declare the positive confession of our weaknesses. Stories of pain. Lee wants us to tell you stories of struggles. I could take you back to when I was 19 years old, student at Emmanuel College, being told by my Pentecostal friends that my mother was going to be healed of cancer, but she died. And they said, oh, she was healed. She went to heaven. What? That's not the original conversation you were telling me. There's pain there. I remember the pain. My wife, Debbie, and I, trying to have children, we tried. It wasn't working, so we continued trying. I liked that part. That was fun. That was good. But they ran tests. I had to do my part. And finally, after surgical procedures, we were able to have child number one. He almost didn't make it right before he was born. Some of you may not know that about Taylor. He's been a part of Bold Venture in the past. He almost didn't make it. Right there at the end, they had to do an emergency C-section to rescue him. But now, three sons later, two grandchildren and one grandchild on the way later. But that was a painful time. My mom's death, not being able to have kids, and many years of ministry. But the most painful of all of those stories is the illness that I had in March 1996, pastoring a church in Orlando, being able to do so many things, healthy, never sick, all of a sudden suffering from encephalitis. They had made a decision that Chris Maxwell was not going to live, that I was going to die. I mean, I was young. I had hair. I had a brain. It was working well. I could memorize books of the Bible. I knew everybody in our church, their name and their phone number. Many of you have heard the story, but so many of you here tonight are new, and I want to declare to you that yes, my positive confession is I was sick. I'm still severely brain damaged. I live with epilepsy. If that bothers you that I say that tonight, I'm sorry. Please get over it. Do not let the reality of a damaged brain have more power than the reality of a miracle-working God who created the brain to begin with. And here I am told that I would not be able to live. I wasn't told that. They told my wife and family and church that. But I did. And if I did live, I would never be able to speak again. right again to continue pastoring a church. I did. I am. I'm here. And I'm here to remind you that His strength is made perfect in your weakness. Listen, one of the things that I am to do as a part of this group, as we show our muscle and we talk about being, the toughest way we can be a man is to say, I tonight am not tough. I am weak, but God is tough. He is strong. He is with me. This is what I want you to do. I'm not a good salesman for my books. And I don't even have a price on them. So you guys can talk to me if you want to buy one. But this is what I want you to do. When you go by BY, not BUY, when you go past them, buy the box of my books, I want you to think not about me. Think about you. If Chris Maxwell, with the damaged brain that he has, that I... If God can do that through me, what can He do through you? He is going to do more than you can ask Him to or imagine that He will. And it's beginning tonight. In the middle of your pain and your struggles, He's saying, you. I'm not looking for the superstars. I'm looking for the wounded, weak to be my warriors so that we can win this forever. Walk by the books and say, if that brain-damaged, ball-headed Chris Maxwell can do this, if God can do that through him, He can do greater things through me, through you, than you can ask or imagine. Believe that. Believe that. Bold Venture. Our new group, Bold Venture. Believe it. You are a part of this. Believe it. In Jesus' name.
And the bald man stood up. We are going to take a Bold Venture photo before the weekend is over. We always do. I'm going to wrap this up with just a comment from myself. I want you guys to know that I am probably the least likely guy in here to be leading a men's conference. I grew up in the South. There goes the water again. Just leave it. I grew up in the South where football is king, and I didn't get that gift. And actually, it created a huge problem for me growing up, because to me in school, sports was king, and that was what determined your popularity and your manhood and all of that. And I kind of felt like, well, I must have been, you know, somewhere else when God was handing that out, because I just didn't get all the gifts for that. I got a bunch of other gifts that I didn't appreciate, you know, things like writing and design, editorial things. You know, it was like, Lord, I didn't want to be in that line, because I thought that's what manhood was about. And then I got in ministry, and when I was a young man in ministry, I was sent by this college campus ministry organization to a city in New Jersey called Princeton to start a church when I was 21 years old. By myself, I was sent there. And that was probably not a very smart thing to do on anybody's part. They thought because I looked smart that I would, you know, reach all the intellectuals at Princeton. That didn't happen. And I came back 3 months later with my tail tucked between my legs, felt like a failure. And I remember driving through the streets of Gainesville, Florida when I was about 22. And I basically made a vow to God that I did not ever want to be a leader in ministry again. And I was serious. And so I just decided, well, I'll just do what I can do. I'll do the things that I'm gifted to do. And I excelled in those things. And I, you know, became a journalist and an editor. I did all those things, wrote books and all that. And then God had the gall to bother me and deal with those vows and those statements that I'd made about myself. And said, actually, I called you to ministry. And actually, I called you to do crazy, radical, mighty things that you right now don't think you can do. But I'm going to prove to you that I can do them through you. But I had to allow God to completely do brain surgery in me and convince me of things that I didn't believe. And I had to get out of my boat many, many times to walk on the water when I didn't want to. And I wanted to stay in the boat, and I wanted to stay in my comfort zone, and I wanted to stay in my fear. I wanted to live in the lies that I believed about myself. And I wanted everybody else to convince me that I was not that, you know, that I wasn't gifted to do those things. And God would not allow me to stay in that boat. And about 15 years ago or 16 years ago, I got out of that boat and I said, okay, God, here I am. You can take this broken guy who doesn't feel like he can do much, and you can use me. And I even prayed a very dangerous prayer. Lord, here am I. Send me. And I've been to 29 countries since I prayed that prayer. Some of those countries 10 times, because God was serious about finding somebody who was available that he could work through. And I found out it's not about me and my gifts and my super abilities. It's totally about simply putting my life in his hands and letting him work through me. So there's some guys here this weekend that you're in that place. God might be calling you out of the boat this weekend. And here you are at a conference about discovering your inner warrior. So this is the perfect place for God to do surgery on you. And I want you to know there's plenty of space in these floors, in these aisles, and at this altar. If you need to lay flat on your face and let God come and do supernatural surgery on you this weekend, this is God's operating room. And he will do that if you just allow him to. So I am so happy to be here, and I am blessed to see all of you, and I want you to give all of these men a big round of applause.
Thank you.